Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and happy 2014. This is the first show of the new year for the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes, and I am the host of this program and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and I'm excited to bring you the first show of the new year. Due to the holidays and other things, this is the first show that we're offering, and very excited to bring back former LSU women's tennis coach Tony Minnis today. Tony has some exciting college tennis news that he'll put forth here briefly that is sure to excite any college tennis fan out there on the planet, and we look forward to him bringing that to us here shortly. I have some other exciting college tennis news that I'll bring to you here in a little bit. Want to remind you that we have other shows that we bring on the UR Tennis Network. Monday morning at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, we put forth the Parenting Aces show with Lisa Stone, and she broadcasts out of Atlanta, Georgia. This morning at 11 Central Time, we had American Tennis with Chuck Creasy. My show, the American College Experience, comes on at 1 o'clock. And then Saturday we have Infinite Tennis with Bill Patton, which is broadcast out of California. And then we also have Minorities in Tennis with Alex Chan, which broadcast out of Virginia. So very excited that you've listened in live today, if that be the case. Also want to remind you that all these shows are podcasted on iTunes, and you can also pick them up off of the Blog Talk Radio website under the archive section. Be sure to tell your friends, family members, and anyone else that is concerned or loves tennis to listen into the programs. They're out there, and was reminding our host that we put forth thousands of hours worth of tennis programming through the years. For me, I'm entering the third year of broadcasting, and I'm very excited about that. 3 years of entertaining college tennis fans. I've interviewed lots of my friends. Lots of people that I had no idea that I would get to interview and talk about college tennis and the things that are going on in college tennis. So I'm very excited to do that and been very fortunate to do that. As many of you may have realized that this last week we have been in a polar vortex, which has put many of you indoors. It has been very, very chilly, and we hope that you've had plenty of time to catch up on the UR Tennis Network and the many podcasts that are out there. We know that college tennis is just getting underway, the spring season. What a wonderful time for tennis. The college dual match season is starting to get underway. We realize that this is a time for my team versus your team, leading all the way to the NCAA championships in May for all divisions. It's an exciting time. Many college coaches have already started their spring practices, bringing back the athletes, the student athletes back early, getting them ready for with practices, two-a-days sometimes, spring conditioning, letting them hit lots of balls, wearing them out, you know, sending them to the trainer's room, getting their injuries healed up from some of these activities, hoping that they spent some of their Christmas break hitting balls like they were supposed to, and not partying too much while they were away, and getting them ready for the spring semester academically as well, making sure the schedules are taken care of, that the scholarships have been taken care of, all those little things before school gets started. And for many of them, school gets started on Monday, and we're so excited about that. Love the spring season, the dual match season. And recently the ITA, the NCAA, released their Division I rankings, And they're out there at the itatennis.com website. I'll quickly go over them. On the men's side, number one, we had Virginia. Number two, UCLA. Number three, Georgia. Number four, USC. And number five, Ohio State. Not a lot of big surprises there as far as the top five go. These programs have been there through the course of time. They put forth a lot of good players, a lot of good coaches. These guys know what they're doing. They attract the top players from across the globe, particularly the United States. They are magnets, and I can certainly tell you why. A lot of these coaches have been on the program, and they know what they're doing, and they put forth the schedule. They have the facilities. They have the academic institutions to back up their programs, and they put forth the good products. On the women's side, leading off with Stanford at number one, Florida at number two, North Carolina at three. Number four, we have the University of Georgia and a tie at number five between UCLA and USC. Now, that's a little bit strange to me on how you can tie in tennis. I'm not quite sure in any, you know, in football you can tie, basketball you can tie, baseball you can tie, tennis, we don't tie. We just don't tie. I've never seen any result out there in the sport of tennis where you tie, so I'd like for those ranking committees to go back and look at that, I realize that those teams are close, but we just don't tie in tennis. Now, as many of you know, we talked about this in December, and I know Tony's out there, and I know he's coming on here in a little bit, but before I get him on, I want to talk about this just a little bit. We've got some new scoring systems that are coming on board, and I came across an article that I just want to shoot out there, and I'm starting to understand this just a little bit more. And I want to put it out there, and we're going to talk about it as the weeks go by, but I'm starting to understand this just a little bit more, and it was leaked, and it's on the itatennis.com website, but maybe it's going to help you understand this just a little bit more, but it came across, and it comes from the Pac-12, and I think we're going to understand this and why it's happening, okay? But it says that the Pac-12 tennis teams are set to test the new ITA dual format. And here's what the article says. It says that the Pac-12, and this comes from December 18th, 2013, and this was the last show that we did of the fall, and it came out later in the day. Then we went to Christmas, New Year's, and all that. But it would feature some of its top teams in the experimental ITA dual match format in three matches for the spring. Now, here's the key component to this article. All three matches will be televised live on the Pac-12 network as part of a slate that will feature more collegiate tennis on one network than ever before. And that, I think, is the key component into why we're altering Division I tennis. Television. And I think that that's where we're going with this. It's an experimental dual match format, and it was designed to increase excitement. And that, as we know, as college tennis fans, is almost impossible. If you've ever been to a 4-3 dual match, you cannot get any more exciting than that. And they want to increase the speed of play and making matches friendlier to fans and television audiences. Okay, and that's the key word here, television audiences. And remember, the USTA also has introduced an experimental format with the same objectives. Now, both the formats will be used in January and February throughout the country, and the NCAA will use the results for the purpose of selecting teams and individuals for its championships. Now, the Pac-12 will first use the ITA experimental format on February 2nd, for a men's doubleheader against two top teams from the Southeastern Conference. It will be UCLA, will play the University of Georgia, and then it will be the Pac-12 runner-up USC facing off with the University of Florida. And then it will also use the ITA format for a women's conference match when UCLA hosts Pac-12 runner-up California. Now, sorry, it's a lot of information pretty fast. I got to get to Tony here. But what's interesting about this, now you'll notice that they're going with the Pac-12 and the SEC. And I did a little bit of research here before I went on air and went to the college tennis rankings. And I wanted to let you know that the Pac-12 and the SEC are heavily ranked in the ITA rankings. Okay, the Pac-12, on the women's side, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women's teams in the top 75. The SEC has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 teams. Okay? So a majority of the teams ranked in the top 75, a third of the teams ranked are represented here. Okay? On the men's side, in the Pac-12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the SEC, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 again. Okay? So we can see that these two conferences have had a big drive in trying to push this change in the format, okay? All because of television. Now, they're going to make a move here to try to force this change to try to get more of these college tennis matches put on television. Now, that's exciting for a few conferences, but it's not exciting for the overall scope of Division I tennis, and that's something that we've got to look at as a whole. We've got to keep the integrity of this sport in check. And I know that there are lots of college tennis coaches that are upset about this, and they're going to be very upset about some of this as it goes along. I know that there are several committees, several organizations out there that are being formed to fight this. I don't know how far they'll go, but we'll keep you abreast of those issues as we go along. But I wanted to get that out there and throw that out there and let you people that are fans of college tennis that know about these issues that are going on and get that out there so you knew what was coming your way, what was happening, and get you informed of that. So now I know Tony's on the air here, and I'm going to bring him in, but if you do have a question today for him or myself as we progress through the episode today, feel free to call in at 714-583-6853. We'll get you worked in. It's an exciting day for college tennis. He's got some great news. So feel free to call in. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Hi, Tony. Are you there?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. It's finally a little bit warmer here.
Yeah,
it was 19 degrees last night and 18 the night before, so it's I'm not too crazy about this cold weather.
It's hard being in the South and experiencing this this teen degree weather.
Yeah, no doubt, but it shows you how crazy it is. It was 19, and I think tomorrow is supposed to be close to 70.
Yeah, it is very, very, very strange. Well, we want to welcome you back. I know that through the course of today, we're going to reveal some exciting news for college tennis fans, and I know that a lot of people will remember who you are and what you've done for college tennis. But just briefly, tell us your association with college tennis.
Oh, man. Well, I played at the University of Louisiana Lafayette 1984-88, and then I kind of part-time assistant there for a couple years after, and then I was a head women's tennis coach from 1991 to 2012. So it's been in college tennis pretty much since 1983, and I've seen a lot of things over the years.
Yeah, now you're a modest guy. I love this about you. You are the winningest coach in the history of LSU women's tennis. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Now, when I looked it up, 285 victories total in your seasons there at LSU. You've got countless awards that were sent your way. The thing I noticed about you, and I never asked this about you, in one of your, you went, it looked like 11 straight seasons there with appearances in the NCAA tournament. And then in 2005, 2006, it kind of fell apart, and you didn't make the tournament for the first time. What happened there?
You know what? Actually, we had a key injury. Staten Spencer was one of our better players, and actually is one of the saddest things in my coaching career. When Staten came in as a freshman, she was wasn't that heavily recruited at all, and her freshman year just lit it up. And at the end of her freshman year in 2005, I had moved her up to two and was considering moving up to one, and she got a stress fracture in her back and ended up having to sit out the 2005-06 season, and then came back later, but she wasn't the same. But, I mean, just an unbelievable kid and great competitor. And then we had another kid that got injured. But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that's all exactly why, but that definitely contributed to that season because we dropped off that one year. But it was, I mean, that stretch of 11 in a row was pretty nice. That's, you know, hard to do just year in and year out.
You bet. Now, and I'm not going to take anything away from you, that next year, 2006, 2007, you come back and you win the conference. You're co-champion in that conference that next year. Was it just getting back that player that made the difference, or what was it?
Yeah, well, actually, we won the SEC West, but what ended up happening, we signed Megan Falcon, who was, you know, ranked as high as one in the country that next year, and then Staten came back, and we signed three freshmen, one of the best recruiting classes we ever signed. So we were pretty, you know, we were definitely much, much better that following year.
Now Tony, the spring dual match season is about to get underway for college tennis. It is an exciting time. Before we get to why you're here today, just reminisce just a little bit here for me. In your time, your entire time as a college tennis coach, what was one of your most satisfying or just exciting dual match wins that you had as a college tennis coach?
Wow. Actually, I think it's pretty. In the year 2000, it was in the NCAA tournament, and Pepperdine was hosting the regional and the whole NCAA tournament, and they were six in the country, and we upset them 5-4 on their home court to make the Sweet 16. And it was actually really, really neat. I think my athletic department was about to kill me at the time because we ended up just staying out there, and we were in Malibu for like 18 days. And it was actually a joke amongst coaches because the guys in the hotel were coming there like, man, you're still here? But no, it was awesome because, you know, they had a very good team and we played a fantastic match and it came down to the last doubles match and we won. So I would have to say that's probably the most satisfying win that we've had.
Did your team come from behind that day or were you ahead through the course of the day or how did it work out for you?
Well, I remember vividly. We were down 3-10 matches, and Bruna Colosio from Brazil, one of the best players I ever coached, won 7-6 in the third set to make it 3-3. It was the last year they played the old format. And then after, it was winning the doubles, and we lost very quickly at three doubles and won quickly at two doubles. And our number one doubles team was ranked three in the country, and Pepperdine's number one doubles team was really good, and we ended up winning that in a fairly close match. So it was exciting, man. It definitely, you know, that's a feeling you don't get very often, but it was actually really cool.
Right. Now let's go the opposite direction, and I hate to do it to you, you got one of those gut-wrenching losses that just sits with you through the years?
I don't think you have enough time on this show to go through that. I would have to say, God, had some heartbreakers. There's one in particular, I would probably have to go with in the NCAA tournament one year. I thought our team was, you know, should have been the Sweet 16, and we lost a really close match to Tennessee to make the Sweet 16 in 1997. And we had opportunities everywhere and weren't able to capitalize. And the bad part is we had an older team. I just felt so bad for the kids because they played so hard. It's funny, you remember the losses a lot more than you remember the wins. that's one, and there's always, because I think in the losses you always think as a coach, you know, could I've done something to, you know, to have made a difference and made it better. So, but those two stick out. And I guess just because, you know, in coaching, one of the things that you're always pointing towards, like the goal for us, we're always, you know, hoping to, you know, go make the Sweet 16 or push towards that. And so everything was focused on NCAA tournament competition. So, you know, regardless of how good or bad you did during the season, for instance, that year I'm talking about with Pepperdine, I thought we had underachieved during the regular season, but in the tournament we stepped it up. So it just kind of, you know, goes back and forth, just depending. But the goal all the time was to you know, make the Sweet 16 and do well in the tournament.
You bet. Now, Tony, college tennis, success, those are the things that have followed you around your whole career, going back to juniors, high school, your story there at Louisiana Lafayette, which we've explored before. But that's not at all why you're here today. You want to share with everybody what you're here for today?
Yeah, myself and a production company are hosting a show called Inside College Tennis that's going to premiere next Tuesday on the Tennis Channel at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And we are going to, what the show's designed to do is to give people a look at the ins and outs of college tennis programs as far as facilities, you know, practices, coaching background, advice about recruiting and things of that nature. So at this point, we've shot two shows. The first show on January 14th will premiere with TCU, and then the following week, January 21st, will be Tulane. And we're hoping to, we're more than likely going to do shows after these two, but this has been, it's been awesome, man. It was just put together very quickly, and you know, I was extremely fortunate to run into two people that are just outstanding as far as what they do in production, Bill Rodman and Flo Omer, and you know, we talked and we pitched it to the Tennis Channel, and I think they liked it, and we're going to give it a go here. I think people will be impressed with the show, especially the quality of production.
That's a great idea, Tony. And on it, we visited about this off the air. I think this is the first time that I can remember that a show like this that is going to give some exposure to college tennis and the college tennis scene, college tennis campuses, is going to make it to TV. When did this idea start?
Well, it's funny how things work. It actually started in late April this past year. I was just doing a lesson with their daughter, and I asked them to bring out a video camera and shoot their daughter's backhand, you know, so, and I'd speak into the camera so that once she, you know, is at home, she can see exactly what she's doing wrong. And they just later that night said, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing something on TV?" And I said, "Well, not really." And they said, "Why don't you come by and, you know, let's talk about it." And, you know, we started talking, and I think one of the things that's so evident, you know, as a former player and coach, I think it's intriguing, it will be intriguing for people to really see the ins and outs of a college tennis program. The whole time I was coaching, I don't say this is necessarily just for tennis, I don't think people really understand the time, the energy, the discipline, the things that go into running a program. And so the advantage for kids and parents will be to kind of get an understanding of what, you know, a TC or Tulane's like, so that when you decide, you know, to look at different schools, you have a pretty good idea of what you're getting into. And secondly, how to go about, you know, how to go about approaching schools and how to go about, you know, practicing to reach to a certain level and doing the things that you need to do to be successful. So it's a very, I think the idea, I think it's a very solid idea. And not only that, to really get the opportunity to see, you know, some of the practices, the facilities that different schools have, the campuses. I mean, what's neat about this, every campus has something that's unique. And for me, it was always, you know, I was selling LSU on certain things, and now it's neat to, you know, go to TCU and Tulane, and I'm not in competition with them, to just hear, you know, what they sell and what they do to be successful.
So is this a very similar to a recruiting visit? Is that what the idea behind the show is, Tony?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, that's exactly it. I'm kind of I'm making visits to different campuses and exploring, you know, that's very well put, but exploring what the campuses are like, the practices, the coaches, the facilities, and things of that nature.
You know, I'm curious. I mean, how does this process work? I mean, you know, you mentioned there that you're going to TCU and Tulane. You know, I know it's not just you show up for an hour and you get all this video. Can you explain how much time
We spent, you know, spent probably – okay, first of all, the thing I'm learning the most about TV is just the amount of time is spent – you know, editing and videoing. We probably spent 2 full days at both TCU and Tulane, and during that time, you know, interviewed, you know, several people and videotaped practice. And this is what I was referring to as far as the production, you know, as far as sitting there and kind of putting together what is the best parts of each and packaging a show. It takes a lot of time and a lot of, you know, a lot of experience and know-how, and that's where, you know, I'm so fortunate that the people that I'm working with are very experienced. They've won, I think, like 7 Emmys for different things that they've done over the years, and, you know, they've been doing this for, I think, 25 years or so, and just, you know, are guiding me as far as, you know, what to do, what to ask, and things of that nature. And so it's a lot more work. It's not just, hey, I'm going to show up for 2 hours and video and gone. You're there 2 full days. Because, I think when people see the show, what they're going to be most impressed with is the quality of everything involved. Like I said, the production, the editing, all that stuff's fantastic.
Now, I mean, as you go through these college tours, is it to give the overall picture of the college itself, or are you just focusing on the college tennis scene?
No, it's a total school. It's a total school. And, you know, and as you people that watch TCU and Tulane, two very beautiful campuses, and just a little background on both. I mean, you know, TCU, you know, Tut Bartson, I don't think people realize how great a player he was. And, you know, you'll see a little segment with him on the show. And, you know, Dave Borelli won 7 national championships while at USC. And Dave Roditi, you know, is the USTA lead national coach. And, you know, they'll get a chance to see all of the, you know, those great coaches, what they've done with their programs and the campus. I mean, just a gorgeous campus and beautiful indoor, you know, outdoor facilities. Then Tulane's a lot different. You know, people are going to find out that, you know, Hurricane Katrina, Tulane's men and women's programs were, you know, a very solid, you know, top 25 teams. And all of a sudden, Hurricane Katrina comes along, and they eliminate numerous sports, men's tennis and women's tennis being two of them. And then 2009, they decide to bring them back, and Mark Boris and Terry Sisk have the daunting task of totally starting from scratch and rebuilding it. And they kind of talk a lot about, you know, their path and what they were doing and as far as bringing it back. So it's, you know, and I think that what's unique and what's interesting is, I mean, how many times if you watch ESPN Game Day and you see segments, whether it be, you know, of a football player at Florida State or Texas or wherever, that has compelling stories, and that's kind of what we're looking for. Looking for not only to expose the great advantages of college tennis, and you know, but also to tell stories about, you know, the coaches, the kids, and everybody else. So I think that, you know, it's a win-win for and the Tennis Channel, I think, is pretty excited about the fact that they, you know, put it on, especially at the time that they did, speaks volumes. So I think it's a win-win because the more it's out there about things that are going on in college tennis, the more interest it creates and the more publicity it gets, and it's just going to help it across the board.
Well, it's a great time during the Australian Open. It's a major sporting event. You know, it's a Grand Slam. The tennis fans are going to be out there. They're hungry for tennis. We haven't had any real good tennis since the U.S. Open. And I think that you're right. The Tennis Channel gave it a great boost doing that, and the spring college dual match season is just underway. I think you guys did a great job in selecting TCU and Tulane, and I was fortunate to interview Terry and David Roditi before the year ended, and both were excited about, you know, the things that were going on around their program. You know, I'm curious, how did you guys decide on the content that you would show on your show?
Well, first of all, the way we selected the schools, Tulane was a no-brainer. First of all, you know, before we even we had to pitch it to the Tennis Channel, and we used Tulane as our show to pitch it. So we went down and videotaped, you know, some and put together. I think a lot of people have seen the sizzle. And so then we decided to go ahead and use Tulane because, you know, like I said, that story with Hurricane Katrina was great. And then just TCU, you know, like I said, there's so many positive things going on there, and it was easy. But I think that's where the producers, man, all I know is when I went and saw the show, they had spent hours and days putting things together, and the content that they used was just from watching video over the course of 5 days. I mean, every time I'd call the Flo, she would say, "I'm looking at you, I'm looking at you," and I could tell that each day she was getting more tired of looking at me, but at the same time, she was, you know, looking and picking, and that's the thing that's awesome is picking out the things that you want to showcase and have the public see about each institution. And so I think what we did was we basically had, it's broken up into four segments. We have a segment kind of featuring the men's coaching program, second segment featuring the women's coaching program, third segment featuring a couple players, and then a fourth can be, you know, like one was interviewing the Tulane AD and the other was talking a little bit to Coach Bartz. And so there's a four-segment format that shows 30 minutes, and, you know, on air is actually about 23 minutes. And, you know, we just kind of – every school is going to be a little bit different with where we go and what we decide to do.
Now, Tony, we talked about this, but, I mean, are we right? You guys are pioneers in this endeavor. This is the first show of its kind to bring college tennis to the spotlight, right?
Yeah, I know that they had an NCAA show with the tournament last year, but I think this is the first show of its kind to specifically feature college tennis. And, you know, we talked about this off the air a little bit, too. It's so important for – there's so many and this show isn't one where we're just going, okay, we're just going to feature the top 10 teams in the country or feature – I mean, this show is something where we want to expose, you know, JUCOs, HBCUs, Division II. I mean, because I think the one aspect that parents and kids are missing out on that they really need to understand, there's so many opportunities out there, and for parents to kind of know what's going on at individual institutions. For example, you know, so many kids may say, I want to go to Georgia, I want to go to Georgia, I want to go to Georgia, but might not be good enough to go to Georgia and don't really understand that, hey, you're not good enough to go to Georgia, but there are hundreds of schools out there for you, and there's full scholarships or in the men's side, partial scholarships waiting for you. I think that's really important for parents to see. I think it's important to kind of understand, okay, conditioning. I mean, how many kids did I coach that came to school and never had done conditioning before or never understood the mental components of the game and, you know, the stretching, all these different factors. And so you'll get a chance to see, you know, not a lot, but bits and pieces of some of the things that these athletes do. And also you'll get an idea of coaches, you know, how do they go about recruiting? They'll talk about that. Where do they go? You know, what tools are good? You know, do I use videos, not use videos? Do I, you know, how do I contact coaches? All those things, you know, we're looking to, not all in one show or anything, but over the course of the shows, answer a lot of those questions, because I think that our sport is different where in football, basketball, baseball, the high school coach is in charge of a lot of that stuff. Well, in tennis, it's a little trickier with, you know, teaching pros because tennis in the high school isn't as prominent. So I think it should be a very informative show, and I think it should be a very entertaining show, and I think it should give parents and kids and just the average viewer a good idea of what goes on behind the scenes at specific programs.
Tony, in my endeavors here on the radio and talking to the coaches, it appears that there are just a lot of parents, a lot of athletes that are just uneducated about the whole process of the recruiting, you know, of getting into an institution. Recently, a lot of coaches have been talking about these homeschool kids, and they're just not being informed about whether their school's actually certified now, and so it sounds like your program is also going to be educational in the sense that you know, we're going to give you a lot of material here that parents, teaching pros, even athletes, student athletes can use.
Oh, there's no question about it, because, you know, with the NCAA consistently making things tougher and tougher, and from a standpoint of admissions and things of that nature, when you say, okay, I'm going to go to North Carolina, well, there's so many steps that you have to take as far as being registered with the clearinghouse. You know, are you making the proper SAT score? Do you have the GPA? You know, do you have these certain documents in? If you decide you want to take, you know, a few months off, how long do you have to take? You know, if you win money in a pro tournament, can you take it, can you not take it? I mean, and that's one of the things I think coaches across the country probably getting a little frustrated with. I know for me, it's because you spend less and less time talking about how to fix a forehand or a backhand and more time worrying about paperwork and making sure you're covered, because there's no university that, you know, no coach that wants to get their university in any type of trouble. So I think that from that standpoint, there's a lot to it. But I think also, too, it's important for people to understand that, okay, on the men's side, most schools have 4.5 scholarships. On the women's side, they're 8 full. And so the expectation as a junior player on the guy's side as far as what you're going to be getting at particular schools, you need to be informed about. On the girl's side, you also need to be informed that maybe you're thinking about walking on at Texas, but at the same time, there's tons of opportunities and scholarships, and understanding that, you know, the opportunity is out there for you. So there's a lot that needs to really be exposed. And I know that the USTA. We've talked to them some. I know they're trying to get involved with they're doing college teams, and they're trying to promote some things that will be televised. I know that I was listening to you earlier. You're spot on with some of the changes in scoring designed for TV. I think what you have is you have situations where athletic directors are not just looking at football, basketball, baseball, but they're seeing volleyball numbers, soccer numbers, softball numbers, those type of sports being televised and having fans, and you're not seeing that as much in tennis. I mean, it's more than people think, but it's still not to the same level as some of the other sports. And so I think what you're feeling is a little bit of, I don't want to say pressure, but concern from administrators to basically say, okay, what can we do to keep tennis on or get tennis on TV and expose it to the masses?
Yeah, that's good. That's a hard thing to do. And it's hard. I think the internet is a great way to showcase a college dual match. I mean, you can split the screen into six different places, but to tell it on a TV channel, that's a hard thing to do and to keep what's going on. But that's an entirely different ordeal, and you and I don't have enough time the rest of the year to discuss that, Tony. I'm curious. I mean, as you go on these college campuses, I mean, these people have got to be excited to get a TV production company on their campus to tell these stories. What's the atmosphere like?
It's fantastic. I mean, very cooperative, very excited. From a standpoint of a coach, like, okay, Borelli's won 7 national championships. People don't even know that. You know, Tug Bartson, I mean, was just a tremendous player. People don't understand that. You know, Mark and Terry are building a program up from scratch. I mean, and all of a sudden you might look and see Tulane's ranked here and not understand, okay, that's damn good for 3 years in progress. You know, Roditi leads the USTA. So I think that to me, everybody wants to be acknowledged when they're doing something good, and it's nice to be able to let people know that, hey, these are some great accomplishments and neat things. I mean, you see the Nick Sabans, you see the Mike Krzyzewskis, but, you know, for Borelli, 7 titles, I mean, that's pretty damn good. And so it's neat for people to hear those type things and to be able to view it and kind of understand what's going on. So, I mean, both schools have been great. They were very cooperative and treat us in a very first-class manner. And the kids were all excited, to get a chance to be on TV and stuff. It's just, it's always interesting. The tennis player puts just as much time in as a basketball player or the football player. But, they're putting in the time. Let's get these guys some exposure. Let's let people know, because they're working just as hard. It's just in this country, tennis isn't as big of a sport. And part of it is the fact that, these stories haven't been told, and, you haven't really had shows like this to tell the story. So I think it's great across the board, and hopefully, like I said, I think when people see the show, they're going to be very impressed, and, hopefully we can kind of keep this thing going.
Well, Tony, I think that a lot of this stems from, and I've interviewed a lot of you guys. It stems from being modest, humble warriors. I mean, when tennis people are out there on the court, they leave it all out there on the court. And when they walk through those gates, they change into someone different, and they're very different people. But when they're on the court, they are warriors like no others. It's very interesting to me. I mean, and when they walk off the court, very businesslike, very humble people, and that's what I enjoy about the sport is when you're on that court and you're looking at someone 78 feet away from you and you're doing battle and going toe to toe with someone, throwing forehands and backhands, and you're slicing and dicing and you leave it all out there, and then you walk up to that net and you shake hands with that person and look them in the eye and say good job. And then walk outside those fences and receive those hugs and things. You realize that, you know, it's humbling. I mean, it really is, and that's what makes tennis special, more special than any sport out there. I've had a friend recently compare it to you know the MMA athletes. You know, it's two men enter, two women enter, a one man leaves, and. They're very, very humble people, and you included in that group. I mean, you know, we've all had good things happen to us, bad things happen to us. We pick ourselves up at the end of the day and go to bed. We pick ourselves up in the morning and get back at it the next day.
Well, I think the other part with tennis that's very unique is there's no substitution. You know, when you're out there, you're out there. And so if your quarterback's having a bad day, you can put somebody else in, or running back. But once you're out there in tennis, you're out there, and so you have to find a way to reach down deep and tough things out. And so it really is. It's a great, tremendous sport, and I think that there's a niche that hasn't been exposed to people. But I think the more people find out about different institutions and different coaches and different players and different schools and what they have to offer and just the great experience that go along with it, I think it can, you know, continue to grow, and college tennis can just get better and better.
Now, Tony, in a total number of hours, how many hours of footage do you guys think you take in a period for this show?
I think about nine. I think nine or something, eight or nine.
Yeah. And how long is the show going to be when it airs?
30 minutes.
30 minutes, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask, how many hours of bloopers are there?
With me, man, it's about four, I'm sure. we can't have those bloopers out, man. We got to keep the – that's what's taking them so long. They've got to make sure that – they've got, you know, my part and then the good part, so they've got to go through all my stuff to make sure that I'm saying it the right way. and it's funny, too, because it is something that, you know, when you first get into this and all of a sudden you mess up and you're like, dang it, and then you realize, hey, no big deal, we can just shoot it again, you know, and so it's pretty, it's interesting. What's been helpful, my brother was a sportscaster for about 17 years. And he's actually, besides Flo and Bill, you know, helping me out a lot, my brother is, you know, giving me some tips, too. And I've had a little bit of experience in it just from, you know, seeing him and just from coaching and stuff, too. But, I think at some point we'll have a TV blooper show that will take up the whole 24 hours of the Tennis Channel cycle for a particular day.
You know, I was going to ask, I hope that this show goes on long enough that there is at some point a special of Tony Minnis blooper reel.
you could probably have that right now. I mean, I don't think it has to go on that very long. But we'll see. I mean, like I said, I think it's going to be, you know, very exciting for people to really, you know, and it's very interesting. So I'm excited for next Tuesday. And I think as people, you know, view the show and see things, I think it'll, you know, create a lot of questions and answer questions. So it should be something very exciting.
Yeah. Now, Tony, after you film this thing and you pack up the bags, I mean, I guess it takes a while to put these together. Any idea on how long it takes to put the final show together?
A couple weeks. They put in a lot of time on the editing and, you know, things of that. You know, putting all the show together and the music and all that. It takes, I think, easily a couple weeks. It just, you know, kind of depends. But, again, this production company is outstanding. They're very thorough, very detailed, and want to do it right. And so I'm telling you, that's the beauty of this whole thing, is to having people like that that have experience and understand quality and how to go about doing things makes things much easier. And I'm sure the Tennis Channel recognized that right off the bat, and I think it's probably one of the main reasons the show's where it is.
Now, I'm curious, is there a lot of post-production work for you?
Not really, a little bit. I mean, it's more, I mean, there are times I have to go over and voice things over and, you know, just stuff like that, but not really. I mean, my stuff's more, in these two schools, I prepped as far as kind of just looking into the schools and kind of understanding some things, so I'll have good ideas of what questions to ask. However, Flo, you know, comes through with a bunch of questions that, you know, she picks up too, and so, and then after that, you know, it was funny because they were asking me when we first went over, they were like, "Are you nervous?" I was like, "Man, this is a lot easier than coaching." I mean, from a standpoint of worrying about myself instead of 10 girls, you know, it's a little bit easier. It's definitely, I'm not saying it's easy, but at the same time, I can just focus on me, you know, my screw-ups, as opposed to, you know, making sure everybody's focused and not on their cell phone or wondering what we're eating for dinner tonight or, you know, that type of stuff.
You bet. Now, in the future with the show, are there some stories you'd like to personally see told out there?
Actually, there's no school that I'm going, "Oh, man, we have to." We're actually in negotiations with a couple schools right now. We're talking to, and another thing, we have a marketing lady out of Los Angeles, her name is Donna Lamb, who's helping us out, and she's been tremendous, unbelievable energy and stuff. So right now, there's, you know, not any particular school. What I'm finding out, and I should have known this all those years of coaching, is, and the stories at every school, and there are things that you don't really understand. I mean, there's so many positive things that have happened at different institutions around the country. And so we're just going to try to venture out and find those stories and tell them. And I think it'll be something very interesting for people to hear.
Well, I think you guys have tapped a wonderful vein here, Tony. I mean, you're exactly right. And there are different divisions, as you've said, that are a wealth of veins themselves. Small college stories that are out there that have yet never been told. There are wonderful Division I institutions that, through the course of time, that were one time great, that have moved to different divisions, that have stories that can be told, and different personalities in college tennis that can be told. I think it's a great idea. I can't wait to watch these shows, to see you on TV, to see TCU, Tulane, to see their stories told. It's just awesome.
You know, one thing, if we could, for anybody listening, you know, we have a Facebook page. If you just go to Inside College Tennis, we're, you know, trying to get as many likes as we can, and that's going well. And also there's, on Tennis Recruiting this morning, and next Monday, there's a Q&A with me, just kind of, you know, discussing several things about the show. So we're trying to, you know, get the word out and, you know, let people know, and doing what we can.
Is this something that the NCAA, the ITA, the USTA, are they going to help you out with some promotion themselves, Tony?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, we've talked to USTA, talked briefly to ITA. One of the things, a lot of the recruiting services have actually reached out and have offered to help. I mean, like I said, Tennis Recruiting, he's been fantastic, and Ross Greenstein has been unbelievable. So I think in this situation, everybody wins when college tennis is promoted more. Everybody wins, and hopefully this will, you know, help in the journey of, you know, getting the word out there more and more, one of other things. But I think this will be a nice start to different aspects of it.
Now, Tony, let's talk about that January 14th show again. When does it air? What time?
Okay, it's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific, and it's 8 to 8:30. It's going to re-air Saturday the 19th, I guess it is, or 18th, whatever, Saturday 18th, at, I think, 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central. Be aired.